God, of knowing about Him but not knowing Him, and falling short of the things God has for us. So there has to be something inside of us that's not satisfied. There has to be something inside of us that says, I want the more of you. I want to go higher. Is there anybody here that wants to go higher? Is there anybody here that wants to go higher? Can you just lift your hand and say, I want to go higher in you, God. In you, God.
There is nothing I wouldn't do for you. You take me high. There's nowhere I wouldn't go, it's true. Lord, take me high, hey, higher. Give me more of your glory, yes, more of your spirit.
Yeah! Worship will just lift this weight off your shoulders. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come on, y'all know this, everybody. Hallelujah.
Come on, put your hands together and give God some praise in this place because he's worthy. Give him some praise because he's worthy. Just lift up your hands and open your mouth and say, you are worthy, God. You are worthy. You are the Lamb of God who take away the sins of the world. It is you, God. It is you, God, who washed me and forgave me, who saved me, who is coming back. It's you, God. It's you. It's you. It's you. It's you, God. Somebody scream hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. It's you. Yes, God. Hallelujah. And nothing like the presence of God. Nothing like the presence of God. Can we say, great big God, bless you to all those listening and watching the internet all around the world. God bless you. If you would open your Bible, just one verse, Matthew, the 5th chapter. Matthew, the 5th chapter. And the 4th verse. Matthew, the 5th chapter, and just one verse, verse 4. We got to say, praise the Lord. Yeah, we got to say, wait. All right, Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse 4. If you have the NIV version, would you please proclaim this loudly, and let's fill this atmosphere with this verse together. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. I can't hear you. For they will be filled. One more time together. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Or they will be filled. I'm sorry, I messed you up. I said verse 4 and it's verse 6. Okay, let's try verse 6 now. Let's try verse 6 now. Together, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be filled. I want to borrow my title this morning from a great, great gospel group who's been known down through the ages, the Rolling Stones. And the writer, Mick Jagger, the great prophet. Mick Jagger, who wrote the song, I Can't Get No
Satisfaction.
Oh, y'all aren't that holy, are you? I can't get no satisfaction. Interestingly enough, when Mick Jagger wrote this song, I'm sorry, did I bring you back to the flesh days? I'm sorry. Our choir has just been saved, you know, recently, and we have to work with them. And Mick Jagger said that when he wrote this song, it was a turning point in the career of the Rolling Stones. And when asked later why he thought it was a turning point in the career of the Rolling Stone, he said, because somehow that song touched everybody. Everybody could identify with that song. The scripture that we just read said, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness. For they shall be filled, or other translations say, they shall be satisfied. Say, satisfied. Now, don't answer me, but just let me ask your heart, your spirit now. Are you satisfied? Are you at peace? Are you content? Are you filled? Are you whole? Are you satisfied? I believe all of us want to be satisfied. I believe all of us want to be at peace. All of us want to be whole. All of us want to be content. In spite of all the craziness going on in our lives and all the craziness going on in our world, there is something inside of us that desires us to be at peace, to be whole, to be content, where we are not in want and we are not in need, and where life cannot so easily just pull us off course. See, some of us probably can identify that just a phone call or just a situation that happens, what somebody says, can just pull us and turn us and destroy our day and change our attitude and change our thinking. So easily we can be pulled and tugged in different directions. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Well, you thought you had it all together, but then just something can pull you and stretch you and take you to another place. But when you are at peace, when you are content, when you are whole, when you are satisfied, stuff can't control you so easily. The problem becomes, though, where we look and seek to be satisfied. See, the world in which we live, sisters and brothers, is constantly seducing us. The world in which we live is constantly bombarding us with its answers to what will make you satisfied. It is constantly calling us into the things it says will make us feel better in life. And too often, we fall for the okey-doke. We talk for the world's answers, the world and the devil's sales pitch in our lives. The marketing strategy of the world pulls us into saying, this is what will do it. It's money, it's house, it's this, it's that. This is going to make you feel better. And the same is true with people. Time and time again, we are led to believe that this person or that person in our lives, this happening, that individual in our lives will satisfy us and make us whole, only to once again be disappointed. And sisters and brothers, when we look for somebody to satisfy us, we are putting unattainable demands on someone and expect them to do what they were never meant to do. See, people in our lives are not there to satisfy us. That's why an unsatisfied individual should never enter into a relationship. You're coming in looking for somebody else to do what you should have had before you entered it. We got to stop being weak and find somebody strong to make us strong. You need to be strong when you wake up in the morning. You need to be strong when you walk out. You need to be strong when you're entering, whether it's a friendship or whether it's a relationship or a marriage. You got to have it together, not look for somebody else to put you together. All the king's horses and all the king's men can't put them Humpty Dumpty back together again. The problem is too often we spend our lives and our energy looking then for the approval of somebody else. You're trying to find your worth through somebody else. Looking for somebody else to pat you on the back and tell you you're okay. See, sisters and brothers, you got to a point if don't nobody else tell you you're all right, you get up in the morning and pat yourself on the back and say, I'm all right. You got to pull yourself a little Kendrick Lamar and say, it's going to be all right. You don't need somebody else to do it for you, to make somebody else to make you feel satisfied. Yes, we all want and we all need to be satisfied, but too often we look in all the wrong places trying to find that satisfaction, that wholeness, that content. Right, only to still be looking for it. Let me give you an example. I don't know if this is like anybody else to me, but I'm always speaking about me. I love Chinese food. Can somebody say amen? Amen. I love it. I love the flavor of it. I love it. I love to eat it. It's good. You give me some lemon chicken, Lord Jesus, help me. Some broccoli and, oh my, anyway, I love Chinese food. But about 2 hours after I eat it, anybody else hungry all over again, like you never ate for a week? And right after I've eaten it, before it even had a chance to pass through, I'm hungry again. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? It satisfies me, but only for a moment. And the same is true with life. People and places and things give us sometimes an instant satisfaction, a temporary satisfaction, thus having us chase after stuff and hook up with the wrong people, thinking this is gonna make me good, this is gonna make me right, only sooner or later to find yourself just like the woman at the well, coming back over and over again because you're still thirsty. Still can't find that thing that gives you peace and contentment and wholeness and satisfaction. And then when you're still thirsty, when you're desperately thirsty, you'll drink stuff that you don't even like. You ever been thirsty and got on a pop, and the pop you like ain't there? And the pop you don't like's there, but you're thirsty? I don't like Pepsi, but I'll drink it when I'm thirsty. See, when you're desperate and when you're thirsty, you will begin to drink stuff that you don't ordinarily drink or like. You'll find yourself clinging to stuff that ain't good for you, just trying to fill a need. Say amen, somebody. But in this sixth verse, not the fourth, but in the sixth verse of Matthew 5, it is important that we understand what Jesus is saying to us. He says to us, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. They will be what? Satisfied. See, Jesus proclaims a prerequisite for real satisfaction. Look at somebody next to you and say, neighbor, don't jump to the satisfied part and miss the prerequisite for real satisfaction. See, Jesus gives us a prerequisite for satisfaction that says it goes to, belongs to, and will have in those who are hungry and thirsty and looking in the right place to be satisfied. Now, we can interpret righteousness by a lot of things. Truth is righteousness. Peace is righteousness. Justice is righteousness. Love is righteousness. It's all part of righteousness. But righteousness can be summed up in one word. Jesus. Y'all didn't hear me. I said righteousness can be summed up in one word. What's the word? I can't hear you. What's the word? St. Augustine said that our souls will be restless until we rest in the Lord. Why? Because Jesus is righteousness. Jesus is the right one. You looking for the one? Jesus is the right one. Somebody say, Jesus is the right one. Shout it like you want to make the devil mad. Say, Jesus is the right one. See, the question we got to wrestle with in our search for peace and satisfaction and contentment and wholeness is, are we looking in the right place to be satisfied? Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the light. Jesus says, I will supply all your needs according to my riches and glory. Jesus says, I can give you peace that surpasses all understanding. Jesus says, I'm the one that overcame and made you what? More than overcomers. Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. I'm the light. I'm the truth. Jesus says, I am the rock on which you can stand. I am what makes things straight. I am your strength. I am your hope. I am your glory. I am the one. Seek ye first kingdom of God, and then everything else you want to fall in place. Isn't that crazy? We'd be looking all over for something, and he gave us the formula. Seek ye first.
That's it.
God says, I don't want to be your mistress. I don't want to be your John. I don't want to be your pimp, your crack, or your drink. I don't want to be in your life. I want your life. See, we sing that withholding nothing.
Right.
But do you believe it? Now, are you willing to do it? Jesus says, if you seek me first, I promise you. And the promises of God are yes and amen. He's not the son of man that he should lie or change his mind. He says, if you seek me first, everything else is going to fall in line. Everything else is going to come together. He says, in fact, if you seek me first, what? All things. Will what? Work together for the good of those. Jesus tells us all through the scriptures, he's the one. Jesus tells us all through the scriptures, he's the only one that can satisfy us. He is righteousness. And yet over and over again, we find ourselves falling into the trap of running after false promises and perpetrators and the stuff that looks good but ain't good. Mama used to say, everything that look good ain't good for you. Even though we know, and even though he tells us, and we read it, and we proclaim it, and we sing about it, and we hear it preached, we still fall into the trap of running other places as if somehow he can't be enough. As somehow he can't do it all. Isn't that what happened to Adam and Eve? He created the whole garden with everything they ever needed. And then he created them. Let us make man. And gave everything to them. Not only did he give them everything, he gave them himself. It said they walked in the cool of the evening, Claudia. Walked with him deep. Imagine just taking a walk with God. Just talking to him and having conversation with God. Just walking with you. And yet, the enemy came up and said, there's more. There's more for you. There's more you need. There's more you want. The enemy came in and told them that somehow God wasn't enough. And then they began to doubt and to question. And they began to look for something else in order to fool and feed them. And the Bible says They began to eat the forbidden fruit. And watch this. When they ate the thing God said, don't touch, they lost everything they had. How many times we've lost things we already had because we went for something God said, leave alone? How many times have we gone whatever God called our forbidden fruit and said, leave it alone? But you kept going back to something he told you you don't need. As if somehow, just like Adam and Eve, believed that he is not enough. And when we meet the challenges of life and the situations of life and the attacks of life, they rise up on us, and the enemy comes to us just like it came to Adam and Eve and says, I got something to fill that need. We say we know who can do it, but we try everything else. And find ourselves eating the forbidden fruit and find our lives just like Adam and Eve, losing what we had. And we find ourselves like Peter, suddenly under the thing we were walking on. Right. That there was stuff you were in over of, and now it seems like it's over you. That's why, sisters and brothers, I believe worship is so important. Let me tell you this. One of the reasons I so push, drag, pull, tug, and challenge you to worship is because I believe worship develops an appetite for God. Appetites don't just happen. Appetites are developed. Parents, you know that's why it's so important in raising our children that we call them to eat vegetables? You put a Hostess cupcake and a vegetable next to a child, they're going to grab the cupcake. Don't act crazy because you're still doing it as adults. But we try to develop an appetite for vegetables and for things that make us healthy. For the last, 3 weeks, Glenda been bringing me these smoothies every morning. I love her for it. But give me a good bacon and eggs. But thank you for the smoothies. They're very good, and I know it's making me better. And I'm developing an attitude and an appetite for it. With me, I got to get the attitude before the appetite. Trust me. Because I'm sitting there like. Worship is so important because the more you worship, the more you begin to just focus on him and love him and seek him and go after him. The more that happens, Erica, the more it develops that appetite and you want to do it more. And suddenly you don't need church. You'll be driving your car and say, oh, Jesus, I love you. So I love that song so. In the morning when I rise. In the morning when I rise. In the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all the world. Just give me Jesus. And when I am alone, and when I am alone, and when I am alone, give me Jesus, give me Jesus.
Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all the world. Just give me Jesus.
Now I love that last verse.
And when I come to die,
because that's when it all makes sense.
And when I come to die, and when I come to die, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all the world.
You can have
all the world. You can have all the world. Give me Jesus. Sisters and brothers, we have to mature to that point of realizing that things are attractive, seductive, and look so valuable and so important in our lives. I know there's a few seniors here that know that when you get older in life and you look back, some things you thought were so necessary don't make no difference at all. And things you thought were so natural. See, when you come to die and you're getting ready to cross Jordan's river and the mist of Jordan is on your face, only thing that matters is when I close my eyes, when I open them back up, I see him. Because your friends ain't gonna be there. He won't ask about your credentials. He won't ask about how much you made or the job that you had or where you lived or what you drove. He's just gonna say, did you know me? So that when you're crossing over Jordan, the words in your mouth saying, give me Jesus. And when I come to die, and when I come to die,
and you will,
and when I come to die,
what?
Give me Jesus. Sisters and brothers, we are getting ready to celebrate once again the birth of Christ, Yahshua, the Anointed One. We're getting ready to celebrate what happened 2,000 years ago. But don't forget that when Jesus was born, almost everybody missed him. Except for a few shepherds in the field with their sheep, and three wise men in a far off place who were watching the stars waiting. Everybody else missed him. Even the innkeeper missed him. He was right at the door. And he said, there's no room for you. Everybody missed him when he was born. The tragedy is, though, sisters and brothers, that today most people, I think, are still missing him. Because we're still looking in the wrong places. Trying to find happiness. Trying to find peace. Trying to find joy. Trying to find love. Trying to find contentment. I believe that's why the world is so messed up. And I believe that's why so many of us are messed up by this world. We're still missing them. With a cell phone. You got a cell phone there. Who got a cell phone? Yeah, that's good. You know what about these things? We take this everywhere. Because in this cell phone, we say is all our information. I wish somebody would get this. We say in this cell phone is all our numbers, is all our contacts. Is all. Some of us don't even know our own number without looking at the cell phone. We say everything we need, how many times we said this, is in our cell phone. In fact, if you leave it, you'll go back to your house, say amen, somebody, to grab your phone because you do not want to go out without your phone. Sisters and brothers, I come to tell you, everything you need is not in your phone. Everything you need is in Christ Jesus. It's not in your phone. I don't care if you got the iPhone 10, 12, 40, or 50. It ain't in your phone. Everything you need is in. I can't hear you. Everything you need is in. He's your contact. He's your knowledge. He's got what you need. Now, I know this is going to be controversial, but he's better than Siri. Instead of asking Siri, when's the last time when you didn't know something, you asked Jesus? I'm through. Paul said in Philippians 4:11, I've learned to be content. I've learned to be satisfied whatever the circumstance. Oh, did you hear that? He said, I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. He says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty, but I've learned the secret of contentment. I've learned the secret, he says, of every situation. He says, for I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Sisters and brothers, I just ask you, imagine, if you will, for a minute, what it could be like being like Paul. Imagine what it could be like being content. More bills than money, I'm okay. Lost my job, I'm okay. Friends turned on me, I'm okay. Feel all by myself out here, I'm okay. Imagine just for a second of being in a place of peace and contentment no matter what's going on in the world. You can say, I'm okay. Sisters and brothers, the world, Kathy, is afraid of content people. The world is afraid of satisfied people. Because satisfied people can't be bought and can't be bossed. See, when Fifth Third had all the people calling me, telling Well, we'd like to give you money. We'd like to support your programs. We'd like to see how we can help Sabina be stronger. Shut the hell up. I told y'all I've been bought once on Calvary. You can't buy me again. All through my life, people have come to me saying, if you'll stand down on this, we'll give you that. When I was suspended my second time, and I thought this was it, I'm gone. I got to help the homeless. I don't want to be homeless. I didn't have nothing. I said, man, what's going to happen to me now? And I started applying for jobs and sending my resume out. And I will never forget going to an unknown university called DePaul. And they called me and they said, we'd love to have you come here and be assistant dean of students and be over the Egan Justice Center. We'd love to have you be here. And I met with them and they said, well, yeah, we'd love to have you now. We just got to take it back to the board. And the board said, we love Father Flager, but he's got to back down from his NRA stance and is calling out racism. I called him up and I said, thank you, but no thank you. I would rather be on the street and homeless than be well fed and bought out and sold out and not live with myself or be able to look in the mirror at myself every day and feel sad. I would rather be satisfied by him than what the world can give me, because if the world gives it, the world will take it away. So Saint Sabina, as we get ready to celebrate the great coming of Christ, I say to you, are you tired of being unsatisfied? Are you tired of keep going back to the well? Are you tired of keep going to people only to be disappointed? Are you tired of running after stuff and things and positions and titles and money and jobs only to be in something? So I have such love for Erica. She was with a company. Stand up, Erica. She was with this Justice People's Organization, only to realize it wasn't really about the people. She said, I'd rather be unemployed than sell out. Left her job. See, that's where we have to be at. And sisters and brothers, tell me, please, hear me. I'm not saying that's easy. It's scary as hell. Because I didn't know which one of you I was going to call to come live with. But I remember the old spiritual. I'd rather be a slave and be buried in my grave and go home to my Lord and be free. Are you tired of being thirsty? Are you tired of keep coming up unsatisfied? If you are, I got a formula from me. I stole it from a good friend of mine. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness. You will be satisfied.
Malachi 3:10 states, "Bring your whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open."